people in Japan are asking which new companies can do what Toshiba, Sony, or Sharp once did. Those big brands made Japanese products famous around the world. What Japan does not have is a crowd of rising startups coming along behind. Or at least Japan didn't, until now. NPR's Elise Hu explains.
My name is Doga from Japan.
Doga Makiura is Japanese and a startup founder, but he's not a startup founder in Japan. He created businesses in other Asian countries instead.
Why not be an entrepreneur in Japan?
Because I think it's boring. There's a bigger, huge, bigger market in everywhere in the world. I mean, Japan is one of the shrinking market, and I don't really understand why we would do a business in Japan.
He's not alone. Only 6% of Japanese surveyed in 2013 said they thought there were opportunities to start a business in Japan. Part of the problem is after the success of the pioneering post-war electronics companies, the lure of working for established places created a risk-averse culture. Makiura explains.
The thing is, you know, it's all about whether you take risk or not. And the parents have great authority and power in Japan. So the parents say, no, you're actually getting into these companies that pay you stable income.
As parents promote the promise of stability at Japanese giants, the cost to the economy is entrepreneurship. But lately, energy behind startups is picking up.
Always question the status quo. I know your parents did not teach you this.
That's a speaker at Slush Asia, a brand new tech festival where we found Makiura. Imagine South by Southwest Interactive, but on a much smaller scale, with the fest's futuristic-looking blow-up domes for talks and demos, an endless line of food trucks, and a focus on bringing together investors and innovators. The scene certainly feels young and hopeful. Makiura.
When I'm allowed to wear a suit, apparently that kind of casual event is the first time in Japan, for sure.
As things are now, young Japanese firms attract only about 1/20th of the venture capital money American startups pull in. But talk with Asian venture capitalist Aiko Tanaka, whose firm backs Japanese companies, and the outlook isn't so grim.
Lately, we are starting to see larger ideas, which, you know, kind of ideas we like to back. To get people trying to change the infrastructure of how things are getting done.
He credits Japan's economic downturn for helping encourage entrepreneurship.
Young people now watch what's happening with Sony, Panasonic, all those companies, and realize that none of those companies actually are able to offer the kind of lifetime employment they were able to use to offer if they didn't fail. I don't think it actually fueled this growth of startup industry.
Among cheerleaders for this kind of growth is Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, who wants to make life easier for risk takers. During his visit to Silicon Valley last week, he announced a new government-funded incubator. It will send Japanese companies to the Bay Area for learning and launch. Abe said unless Japan focuses on the future, they'll get left behind. So policy changes to reduce bureaucracy and encourage investment are happening. And at events like Slush Asia, it's hard not to feel at least a little inspired. Taizo Son is the event's organizer.
One of the major purpose or goal of this movement is encouraging the younger generations, in the sense that the elder people is discouraging. So that's why we need this kind of event.
It'll take more than just one cool event, but if the burgeoning Japanese startup community can start humming, it'll make a tradition-bound country a kinder place to create business. Elise Hu, NPR News, Tokyo.